What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. And on today's show, for the first time this week, we get John Kegley on the show, one of the original founding members of the Locked On Chargers podcast. So I'm excited about that. But before we get started, we are three writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. We've been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. Now this is our third season as the hosts of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. What's up, guys? Well, we appreciate everyone who listened to the Ultimate Division crossover this week, and we didn't necessarily have to do a show today, but since you guys were so patient and dealt with, you know, having to talk about all those other hated teams in the AFC West, we wanted to give you a show just for you guys. So that's what we have here today, and we're going to start with ESPN coming out with a list of the top 10 cornerbacks in the NFL, according to all of the league's executives and coaches and things like that, as well as the Madden 21 ratings for the corners. There seems to be some difference of opinion between those two lists, so we'll get into that first. In the second segment, we're going to be getting into what four-game stretch for the Chargers is going to be the most important for their success this season. I just came out with an article on the LA Football Network, so we're going to get all the hosts' opinion on their most important four-game stretch in the second segment, before getting into the last segment, talking about one of our friends of the show, Daniel Popper, coming out with 20 burning questions about the Chargers' 2020 season that he has. There's some really good questions on there. We're going to do half today, and then we're going to do the other half next week on Monday, because there's a lot to get into. He's asking the burning questions. We're going to answer them for you guys, but let's go ahead and get into it. On Thursday, ESPN came out with its list of the top 10 cornerbacks in the NFL, and no Los Angeles Chargers made the list, but the Madden 21 ratings told a different story. This is Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. ESPN has been previewing the 2020 NFL season, asking more than 50 league executives, coaches, scouts, and players to help them stack the top 10 players at 11 positions. And on Thursday, the cornerback list came out. And with the Chargers having the most talented secondary in the NFL, we thought one of them might make the list. But they were shut out on the list, but they did have Casey Hayward come in as an honorable mention of sorts. And obviously, the top 10 players on the list are very good players. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about Stephon Gilmore or Tre'Davious White or some of those other guys. But David, when I look at this list, I think it's obviously splitting hairs a little bit. But I do think there's a couple of players on this list that you could look at and say, if you wanted to take one of those players out and put Casey Hayward on the list, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, and in the article, they mentioned that because Casey Hayward plays so much zone coverage, sometimes he gets lost in it. But I don't think it's fair to penalize Casey Hayward for playing zone coverage when that's what he is asked to do. He's just doing what he is asked to do. And I think you can easily take a look at Patrick Peterson as a guy who Casey Hayward could potentially replace. If you look at their passes defense last year on 48 targets, Casey Hayward Jr. had 8 passes defensed. Patrick Peterson had 7 on 72 targets. Teams just don't throw at Casey Hayward because they know what he is capable of doing. Even the last 2 years, Casey Hayward has 16 passes defensed, Patrick Peterson only 12. And also, Casey Hayward's been doing this for a while. In 16 and 17, he had 42 passes defensed in that time frame. Playing the cornerback position is not just about playing the pass. You got to play the run, and you got to be able to tackle as well. So when you look at the tackling statistics, Casey Hayward of the last 2 years only missed 6.45% of his tackles. Patrick Peterson missed over 10% of his tackles and also allowed over 400 yards after the catch. So it's hard to argue with this list, but I think Casey Hayward supplanting Patrick Peterson is definitely a compelling argument.
Yeah, and Hayward only gave up 393 yards last year. Patrick Peterson, 621. So I think there's many things that you could look at, but Casey Hayward has just been one of the league's best, and there's a reason that he doesn't get targeted so much. But the Chargers were receiving love in another place, because Madden 21 has been coming out with its player grades, and the Chargers corners were all over the list, because not only did Casey Hayward come in the top 10 overall grades, 3 Chargers corners came in the top 10 in 2 different categories. One was man coverage and the other was play recognition. So David, Casey Hayward definitely gets the respect here in man coverage. 3 Chargers corners, even though they're known for zone coverage, Madden has 3 of the Chargers putting up top 10 type numbers.
Yeah, definitely a lot of love from Madden here for the Chargers and these cornerbacks and their abilities. You look at the man coverage list, they have Casey Hayward Jr. with a 92 overall in that statistic, Desmond King at a very respectable 88, along with Chris Harris Jr. as well at an 88. And then you look at play recognition, you have Desmond King topping the list at number 3 with a 95 overall. A lot of love there for Desmond King. At number 4 on the list, they had Chris Harris Jr. with a 93. And at number 5 on the list, they had Casey Hayward Jr. with a 92. So you got 3, 4, and 5 on the list, all Chargers. And then Madden 21 also has Hayward as their number 7 overall corner with an 89 overall rating. So unfortunately, ESPN not giving a lot of love to the Chargers cornerbacks, but Madden 21 definitely is.
Yeah, and I think if we're going based on Madden ratings, we definitely need to see Gus Bradley changing it up a little bit and going to more man-to-man defense, because that's not even zone coverage, which is what they're known for doing, where they're showing up on these lists. And if those guys are going to be that high in play recognition, I mean, we better be seeing some routes jump this year and a lot more interceptions than we've seen over the last couple of seasons. But I think the Chargers have been talked about as one of the best secondaries in the NFL, but two of the guys on this list play the same position, and that is Chris Harris Jr. and Desmond King. So the Madden might be giving both of these guys very high grades, but how are both of these guys going to get on the field? I think for the Chargers in real life, that is the much more pressing question. But we do have two more segments to get into, because we're going to be getting into the most important four-game stretch of the Chargers 2020 season, as well as wrapping up the show with our friend from The Athletic, Daniel Poppers. And then we're going to be getting into 5 burning questions that Daniel Popper of The Athletic has for the Chargers going into the season, coming up right after this. All right, so last week I came out with an article on the LA Football Network discussing the most important 4-game stretch of the Chargers season. And when I was doing it, I wonder what my two co-hosts would think about that and if they would agree with my 4-game stretch or if they would go with a different one. So just for reference, mine is weeks 6 through 9. I went with the Jets the first week, then the Miami Dolphins, then the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then the Las Vegas Raiders. So one of the themes that I had going into it was just the Chargers taking care of business. Whether it's letting bad teams stick with the Chargers and have very tough games against them like we've seen over the last couple of years, or just getting beaten by teams that the Chargers should actually beat, I thought taking care of business should be the theme for the Chargers this season. And if they take care of those 4 games, this was my thought process behind it. If the Chargers go 4-0 against those 4 teams, again, that's the Dolphins, the Jets, the Jaguars, and the Raiders at home, the home game of the matchup, that would mean that the rest of the season, they would just have to go 500 football to get to 10-6 and probably earn a playoff spot. So, John, I know you have your own 4 games that you want to get into, but when you're looking at that, what would you think about just the Chargers' most important 4 games being just the 4 games that they're the most likely to win, just so they could actually string together some wins and try to put together a pretty good record in 2020?
I don't think it's a bad idea to have that as your 4-game stretch. It makes a lot of sense to the fact that if you have 4 easy wins and you only have to go 500 with the rest of the games, you're pretty much in the playoffs. But for me, we have a quarterback controversy here. It's not really a controversy because Tyrod is automatically the starter. But at some point, if Tyrod messes up, someone's going to be calling for Herbert. And I feel if the Chargers were to start the season anything under 2-2, whether it be 1-3, 0-4, there's going to be distractions. And it's going to be people saying, okay, it's time to get Tyrod out of there. He's 1-3, he's 0-4, time to put Herbert in. And those distractions will last the whole season and can lead to more losses. So I feel the first 4 games of the season, regardless of who we're playing against, would be the most important for this season just because of the quarterback situation. If the Chargers start 3-1, everyone's comfortable with Tyrod. Tyrod starts getting more of a groove. If we're 2-2, no one's talking about it. Really, they're just saying we're 2-2. We can get better. But anything under that, they're going to be calling for Herbert. And a couple of the teams we play against are teams that the Chargers typically struggle against, like the Carolina Panthers that the Chargers are 1-5 all time against. There's also the Kansas City Chiefs, who are the defending Super Bowl champions. And then there's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who the Chargers have a good record against, of being 8-3, but they haven't fared so well the past few games against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So it's going to be a pretty hard battle, but the first game is against a rookie QB. You don't know what he's going to look like as far as the new game plan, and there's no training camp. There's probably not going to be any preseason film on him. And on top of all that, it's the first game with COVID. So not having as many fans in the stands could also be a distraction. The first four games for me have to be.
Yeah, and just I think, you know, we were talking before the show, and you're not saying that you think that Tyrod Taylor could possibly get yanked after four games, but just the fact that if he does start with a losing record, if he does start 1-3, does that get to him? Because at that point, that just becomes a distraction, because you are going to have people calling for his job. There is going to be that pressure of him saying, you know, hey, they almost pulled out Phillip Rivers for me last season. What makes me think that there isn't some conversations going on behind the scenes right now that they could be contemplating a move? Because that was what I did on mine, is I think that after that week 9 game with a bye week, that could be a logical time if the Chargers are fading out of the playoff race or they're not excited about what they're getting with Tyrod Taylor, that they could try to pull the trigger with 2 weeks left. But you're not saying he's going to get benched. You're just saying that that could become a distraction if he starts off with a losing record right away in the first quarter of the season.
Well, yeah, and it's more of the distraction that's to work. Because let's say Tyrod was 1-3 and they yanked him right away and it's Herbert, not as much of a problem. The only problem is Herbert ready? Did we rush him in? But it's the fact that we know for a fact they're not going to yank Tyrod after four games. They said already they're not going to rush Herbert into the starting role. They're not going to make him the priority. They're going to let him gel, learn, figure out his ways, and wait till he is ready to be the starting quarterback. But that doesn't mean the rest of the team can't suffer. If Tyrod is 1-3 the first 4 weeks and everyone's calling for his job, the rest of the team is looking at that. Even the defense is distracted by that, and that could lead to another 3 losses in a row, making him now 1-6. Or Tyrod can somehow, some way, become a team leader, and this could actually be his shining moment where he becomes a team leader and says, screw the media, screw what's being said, we got a game to win, and the team rallies around him and actually starts winning games. There could be a good side of this too, but either way, it's all in the first 4 games.
I think vocally that will be a big thing. I think you will see players come to the defense of Tyrod Taylor if he struggles early, but I think the importance of the Chargers getting off to a quick start with Tyrod Taylor is definitely understated so far. But David, when you're looking at the 2020 schedule, you've heard mine and John's most important 4-game stretches, but where do you look at as something that's the most important part of the Chargers schedule?
Well, first of all, I like both of your guys' points and why exactly those are the most important stretches of the season. But for me, it's the last 4 games of the year. The Chargers play against the Falcons and then 3 AFC West opponents back to back to back to finish out the year. And if you guys remember, last year the Chargers were a grand total of 0-6 against the division. They absolutely cannot do that again this year. They have to play better against the opponents that they're going to see the most, that they're the most familiar with, and the Chargers did not do that last year. They can't afford to let that happen again this year. And also, it's not going to be easy. They're home, away, so they're not going to be able to get comfortable. They're going to have to deal with the travel, but they have to play against their division opponents better. And hey, if you finish the year strong, that could potentially put you in the playoffs and put you in a good spot to go do some damage.
Well, let's put this real quick. Those last 4 games could possibly mean nothing as far as playoff goes, but those could be Herbert's grooming games, exactly. And they go against teams that the Chargers actually have losing records against, like the Falcons. The Chargers
and
historically
teams he's
going to
play a lot too. Like they're going to play a lot of those teams going forward. That could be his first look at them.
But the Falcons, the Chargers historically struggle against. They are 2-8 all time against that team. And one time was the 17-point comeback with an injured Denzel Perryman, and the other one was a 10-9 victory from a long time ago. Other than that, the Chargers don't fare well against them. And when you're playing your division rivals, this is a good chance to get really comfortable with those type of teams, because you see them twice a year, every year, and they figure you out really quick. You could have a 14-2 Chargers team play a 2-14 Raiders team and still barely pull out the game 21-14 after Vincent Jackson spikes a ball forward on a fourth down. But that's a different story. But still, that was a close game with a team that was first place and last place in the league. Herbert needs to get used to stuff like that because they will figure you out in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and I love it because either way, it's going to be important. If the Chargers are going into a playoff run and they find themselves, for example, 6-6 going into the final 4 games and 4-0 gets them to 10-6, if they get 2 losses, then they're going for 8-8 and they're probably out of it. That's very important. And the other part of it is, Tyrod Taylor is only under contract for this one season. If the Chargers want to know what they're going to be rolling into 2021 with at their starting quarterback position, we might see that in those final four games. And I think if you're picking a part of the season that we could see, if we could see Justin Herbert, it's going to be those four games. And I think the one thing that I really like about that, David, is just the AFC West part of it, because that's something I struggled with when I was coming up with the list, because I only have one AFC West game. It's the Raiders game at home. But after going winless, after going 0-6, which is just ridiculous, I think that there's such an importance being put on these divisional games, because even the difference between 3-3 in the division and 0-6 is monumental. And I think really what you have to focus on is taking out the teams like the Broncos and the Raiders, just simply because you know you're going to have a better shot at them.
Yeah, I think you absolutely have to try to sweep both of those teams. I think they're definitely capable and able to do that against the Broncos and the Raiders. And I think at best, you would love to split 1-1 with the Chiefs. I think that's definitely possible. The Chargers have played the Chiefs very tough. The Chargers defense have had a lot of success against Patrick Mahomes and not allow him to look like how he has looked against every other opponent. The Chargers have definitely done a good job against him. And they're going to have to continue to do that next year after Patrick Mahomes has an absolute just gigantic amount of money tied to him for the next 12 years with the Chiefs. The Chargers got to play the teams they know the most. They draft players specifically to beat these guys. The Chargers have to do better against these division opponents. And yeah, it could be absolutely important for Justin Herbert, but who knows what this season is going to look like. He's absolutely had no preparation whatsoever. The Chargers might say, hey, I don't want to put him out there for any reason, because we just haven't had the time to be able to figure out what he can do at the NFL level.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I mean, just not having seen any of Justin Herbert on the NFL field at this level, playing really meaningful games, even if it's, you know, they're not as meaningful, but playing against starters and playing against legitimate NFL talent for a couple of games going into 2021 is very important, because as of this moment, I mean, that was kind of the moment we all saw Patrick Mahomes for that first time after the Kansas City Chiefs had clinched. They had that one final Week 17 game. Patrick Mahomes came in and played well. You want to see a little glimpse of the future at some point this year, and if they're out of it, you'd think that would make all the sense. That would make all the sense in the world. So I think all of the games are obviously important, but I think those three stretches right there are going to be pivotal if the Chargers want to be very successful this season and looking forward to what they might be able to do next season as well. But we do have one more segment to get into. It's the Athletics' Daniel Popper's five burning questions that he has about the 2020 season, including Desmond King's demotion, Linval Joseph's pass rushing, and much more coming up right after this. So one of our guests from the past, Daniel Popper from The Athletic, one of the most plugged-in people on the Chargers in the NFL circles, has come out with 20 burning questions that he has for the 2020 season, and he has released the first 10 of those questions this week, and I think they're all very, very good questions and questions that we're going to try to answer today. So we're going to work down from 20 to 16 on today's show, and we're going to save the other half for Monday's show to get into the rest of those questions and answer those for you then. But starting with number 20, the question he has here is, well, how will the offensive line, particularly the young ones, react to a new position coach, James Campen? What he says is the Chargers are banking on Campen to elevate their offensive line with his established developmental skills. They have many reasons to believe that he can achieve that. So, John, I mean, I think it can't be understated how important this is going to be, because there's not a ton of new guys specifically on that left side, and they're banking on James Campen being able to get much better play out of those guys than the play we've seen from them over the last couple of seasons.
Well, I think it's important to mention that the offensive line has never actually gotten better, as whether you want to say it's by adding players or just by improving your own players. They've basically all been at a standstill. If you got
100%, there has been almost no development, seemingly.
If the Chargers signed 8 offensive linemen, and let's say you use Madden ratings on it, just because people understand Madden, let's say they all averaged out to a 74 overall. By the end of the season, they are still a 74 overall average. They just don't improve at all. And if you sign a new person, and let's say it moved you up to a 76 overall in week 8 because you signed that new person, by the end of the year, they're still a 76. Nobody's improving on this team. So James Campen has to be improving and developing these guys. If he can't do that, we're still right where we were 2 years ago. Even when we were 12-4, the offensive line was still bad then. They didn't really improve from that year either. So if you can develop even the young guys and even the veterans, you can. I'm pretty sure Bulaga and Pouncey can improve as well. They can develop even more. Everyone's still a student of the game. If you don't think you are, then you're about to really hit a wall and start going down in your career. You can develop with the young guys as well. And if you can do that, this team could do a complete 180 and have one of the greatest offensive lines in the league. Maybe not top five, but easily top 12. And start running the ball down people's throats and preventing teams like the Chiefs from scoring 40 points a game on them.
The Chargers haven't had an offensive line coach that has had a proven reputation and track record to be able to develop offensive linemen. Hopefully he takes that pedigree to the Chargers and has a lot of success because they definitely need
it. Well, and then when you look at guys like Dan Feeney and Forrest Lamp, and I mean, Dan Feeney had a pretty good end to his rookie season. I mean, he was a promising prospect and it's gotten worse. And obviously a lot of that is on the player. The player has to buy in as well, but sometimes you need a different voice to get through to these players. And I don't think the, you know, Pat Meyer or anyone they've had in the past has been able to get that done with the lack of development that we've seen. Like even Sam Tevy, by this point in his development, he should at least be an average tackle, at least an average swing tackle, and it's just not happening. The players are getting worse, and that has to change. But a great question he has on here, David, is what kind of shape are the players in the NFL going to come back in when they arrive to these camps? Because obviously with COVID going around, obviously with the COVID-19 pandemic, players have not been able to have access to things they normally would, like team facilities or even public gyms and things like that. So I think that is a burning question going into the season, is when these players show up, are they going to be conditioned? How much time is it going to take to get them there?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that's really important that the article mentioned was that Tom Telesco likes to look for guys that are self-motivated, and this right here is going to be the true test if he actually found guys that are self-motivated, because right now there's not a lot of facilities open, but these guys are professional athletes, and it is their responsibility to make sure that they maintain their bodies, they continue to eat right, they continue to put themselves in the best positions to be successful on the field. These guys get paid lots and lots of money to go out there and play this game at the highest level. So they can't use this pandemic as an excuse for why they are not in shape. All the videos we've seen on from the Chargers releasing guys like Austin Eckler and Tyrod Taylor look like they're in phenomenal shape. Hunter Henry doing great workouts. So it seems like these guys are staying motivated and they are staying in shape. But obviously the ultimate determiner of that is going to be how they look on the field when we get to finally see them in training camp.
Absolutely. And I think that injuries are something that come up as well, as far as after a very, very long layoff, trying to, you know, hold on, knocking on wood really quickly, just trying to get these players back into shape, you know, having not had them doing these kind of activities is going to be something that is going to play a factor almost undoubtedly. But the next question on here, John, is something we've talked about to some degree, and that is, how does Desmond King react to an ostensible demotion? So most of what we've talked about is how do they get him onto the field, but obviously a big part of him being able to come on the field and produce is how he takes, you know, the Chargers bringing in someone that not only plays his position, John, but plays his position very well.
Well, I think you should look at it differently. I think Desmond King could probably be being put in a better situation that helps the team. Is he getting his starting position that he's been playing the past couple of years taken away? Sure. But he's probably going to be put in a starting role somewhere else, whether it be the dime linebacker, could he be a safety, whatever it could be. He's going to play a big role on this team and still be a contributing factor. It's not like he's going to be a bench for the whole season until Chris Harris needs a breather and then Desmond King gets his five plays a game or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's actually going to be playing a big role. So I don't really consider this being a demotion. I don't think he does either. I think he knows that he's going to be playing a big role in this team to making them better. And he's probably going to get more free motion as well than just being a slot corner.
Well, and it's tough because obviously there was some disciplinary action where he ended up having to be forced out of a game that he was not injured for. But the Chargers are sending a message with the Chris Harris Jr. signing, and that's that they need better production out of the slot corner position. Obviously, King had two really, really good years in the slot and overall has had a great career so far in the slot, but if you look back at his tape at Iowa, it didn't really matter where he was. The guy just made plays. He was just a good football player. So if they can find more ways to just bring that out of him, simplify the game for him, and let him, you know, react as the third best play recognition player in Madden 21, I think that could definitely be a good thing. But you have to hope he takes it like that, and we just don't really know how he's going to take it yet until we see him get out there and we see, you know, some body language and stuff like that. But the next question on the list is something we've talked about before, Dave, and that is, what does Linval Joseph bring to the interior pass rush? So obviously, you have to look at the bar that was set by Brandon Mebane to know how much an improvement it was, because obviously looking at 4 sacks last season or in a down season for Linval Joseph isn't going to get you super excited. But at that position, David, it's definitely a big upgrade at the nose tackle position. But interior pass rush is also going to have a lot to do with what guys like Jerry Tillery and Justin Jones are able to do, like he talks about on this list.
Yeah, but I mean, bringing in a guy like Linval Joseph, who has a pedigree of getting after the quarterback in the last 4 years, he has 11 sacks. Brandon Mebane, who is the guy that played there for the Chargers the last 4 years, only had 3 sacks. And also, you're just getting a lot more man as well. Linval Joseph is 6'4", 323 pounds. Brandon Mebane sat at 6'1", 311 pounds. And also, Linval Joseph had over 220 tackles in that last 4 year span. Brandon Mebane only had around 100. So there's a huge difference in production, both against the run and against the pass. And he has no shortage of experience as well that he will be able to impart to guys like Jerry Tillery and Justin Jones, hopefully bring them along in a rotation, because it's going to take all three of those guys to have success. But they are banking on more pass rush from the middle to be able to give more one-on-one opportunities to your pass rushers, like obviously both like Bosa and Ingram and Nwosu, when they give them a chance to rush the passer, and sometimes these corners as well.
Yeah, maybe we'll see a lot more blitzes this year. I mean, a lot more comparatively to the league low amount that we saw last year. But for me, I mean, just having a presence on the interior for the Chargers, a player that is known for his physicality, gets up and down the line pretty well, and not only is going to put up huge, and he's not going to put up huge sack numbers, but just being able to have a little bit more of that push in the pocket, freeing up someone like Jerry Tillery in pass rushing situations to get one-on-ones and see what he can do, because that's going to be so important and things like that. I think Linval Joseph is obviously one of my favorite signs of the offseason. And if he can just bring, you know, even 90% of what we were seeing from him a couple of years ago, or even just what he did last year, it'll be such an improvement that I think even at a position not known for being able to see how much of a difference they're making, you'll be able to tell the difference. But and the last question that we have on this list, number 16, before we get into the next 5 next week, is definitely going to pique the interest of superfan Zach in Florida, and that is, does Easton Stick look capable of being a backup quarterback in 2021? So I think honestly a big question as well is, can he be a backup this season, since right now if Tyrod Taylor was to get hurt or something, are you going to force Justin Herbert in, or are you going to, you know, put Easton Stick in there, who has never seen any live action in an NFL game either? But John, do you think that Easton Stick right now looks capable of somebody that can turn into a solid backup, obviously knowing that Justin Herbert is going to be the starter long term?
I think he could definitely be your career backup. This is a guy who won national championships, and they weren't the FBS level, they were FCS, but still he won national championships in college. So this is a guy who has experience in big games and could probably learn a lot of things playing behind Tyrod, even being around Justin Herbert, who's learning a lot himself. That's two young guys that could learn a lot from each other. So I think he'll definitely be your career backup. I don't think he's going to be anything like what Billy Volek was to this team, when he can come in and just win you playoff games. But to know that you have a guy who basically is the same as all the other quarterbacks, he's a mobile quarterback who can throw pretty well and can basically run any type of offense that involves running game. Basically, if you're going to have a guy play action and roll out, Easton Stick can do that. He fits your system. So I think he's definitely going to be your career backup. But as far as, could he come in this year and save the season if you don't want to rush Herbert? That's a tough one.
I think honestly the best case scenario for Easton Stick, as we've seen it right now, and Zach, I know that you feel bad for Easton Stick that he's not going to have a chance to be a starter, even though I think he could if Tyrod Taylor goes down early and Justin Herbert isn't ready to start yet. I think if you can get a backup out of a fifth round pick, you're actually, that's not a bad pick, right? If you can get a quality pack, if you can get a quality backup that can actually fit well into your system. And I think, you know, with Justin Herbert's playing style and knowing the Chargers might lean on his legs a little bit, he could get hurt. So Easton Stick definitely could see some playing time as well once that all gets situated. And I think if he was to come in, the one thing he's going to bring you is a spark, because he is probably the best athlete out of that quarterback room, at least from the little that we've seen. I think he is a pretty explosive athlete, and I think he has the potential to not only, you know, be the backup, but to be incorporated into some gadget plays on the offense as well. I mean, you look back at the 40-plus yard touchdown in the preseason and him just being able to make people miss. He definitely has that kind of athletic ability, and for the long term, I don't think you could look it for a better backup. Obviously, you could look for one with more experience, and that's obviously the one thing he lacks. But as far as a skill fit for what the Chargers are wanting to do, I don't think it gets much better than that. And I think having somebody like that and having a big backup has come into play so many times for so many big teams. Look at Nick Foles winning a Super Bowl. That if he can turn into a really good backup, you're doing something right as the Chargers, even if you picked him in the fifth round.
If he gets in the pocket and throw the ball too, you have a guy who could probably win games in the clutch if it has to go down to throwing the ball a bunch in the fourth quarter. Whereas with someone like Tyrod, can you really say he's going to do that? You might have a little bit of an advantage there if it comes to clutch situations.
And before the scheme change, if you would have asked me could he be the backup, I would have said no. But now that they're switching the scheme to a more run-heavy, run-play-action type style, pistol style, I would say absolutely.
Yeah, I think his skill fits good, and I think that, you know, it'd be a much different offense if he came in, but it would really give Shane Steichen the ability to try to evolve around somebody like that, turn him into, you know, some sort of Taysom Hill or some kind of offense like that, where it's very much simplifying reads and doing things like that, because obviously the only sample size we've seen from him in the NFL, was explosive and exciting, but it wasn't great overall. So obviously there's a lot more that we have to see. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Thank you to everyone who came in and listened. And we will get into Daniel Popper's other five burning questions next week, including what will Kenneth Murray's role on the Chargers defense be, and much more on Monday. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or giving us a follow on Spotify. We would really appreciate it. You can also tell your smart device to play the Locked On Chargers podcast and listen to the show that way as well. If you guys want to get your voices on the show, make sure to call into 323-524-7924. Zach, we are getting your voicemails, but we want to have some sort of variation with the voicemail, so make sure you guys call in, give us your thoughts, and you can text the number as well. But we want to do a voicemail show soon. But we'll be back with you guys next week. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.